seated and take your Bible and turn with me, if you will, as we begin this afternoon to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We've looked at several key subjects when it comes to the sovereignty of God. The first one that we looked at was the Bible word and subject called adoption. And we noticed that that was an act of God that establishes the final purpose for all believers. And that final purpose that adoption establishes is the glorification of our body, our glorification. And then, next, we looked at the word predestination and found that that was a sovereign act of God that makes that final purpose of our glorification as believers certain. It nails it down. It makes it rock solid. And then we looked at the word election. And we saw that as an act of God's sovereignty in which he chooses either one person or a group of people through which he will accomplish his redemption plan for the entire world. Today, we want to look at the word foreknowledge. And I want to make it very clear that foreknowledge, unlike the other three subjects that we've already considered, foreknowledge is not an act of God, but rather it is an attribute of God, a characteristic of God. It is a description of who God is and not what God does. That's a very vital distinction that I want you to catch this afternoon regarding the subject of foreknowledge. Foreknowledge is not an act of God, but it is rather an attribute of God. It is not something that God does, but it is something that God is. God knows. And we'll look at what it means, and then we'll also consider how the Bible uses it. All of it will be found in the Scripture. I'm not turning to other books. I'm looking to the book, the Bible, the Word of God. And that is what is crucial when we talk about anything that pertains to God, because this is where it's all found. All right? Let's pause a moment. Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, what a great God you are. How majestic, as we've sang, how great thou art. We're just amazed at your grace that we were reminded of. We're just marveling at your mercy, your long-suffering. And now, this afternoon, we are going to just be taken aback as we consider your foreknowledge. Oh, Lord, your wisdom, your knowledge, it's unsearchable. It is unlimited. It's eternal. It's infinite. And for that, we just bow in worship. We pray that you will have our heart's attention and that you will teach us, Holy Spirit of God. You're the unction that we're depending upon from the Holy One. You're that anointing that I take and thank you that you undertake. And we pray that you would use this time that we have in your word for glory of Jesus. For his sake we ask it. Amen. So let's talk about what it means, this thing of foreknowledge. I've had you turn to Romans chapter 8 because there you will find the word actually mentioned in the 29th verse. It is actually an extension of and an explanation of that most famous 8:28 verse. We know all things work together for good. How do we know that? How can that be? Well, verse 29 tells us, for whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Again, that's glorification. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Look at verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now, we've already touched on those verses in messages in the last couple of weeks. But I want to talk about that word foreknowledge that appears there in verse 29. And I want you to understand several things about it. First of all, did you note in that 30th verse that as far as God is concerned, if you're a believer, in His eyes, in His mind, you're already glorified. You feel glorified? Obviously not. But in God's mind, it has already taken place, and that is because God's eternal. Foreknowledge is an attribute of God whereby God sees all things in the present tense. God isn't bound by past, present, and future like we are. He is an eternal being. And that's why He can say that we're glorified, because He's looking at it from the standpoint of His realm, which is eternal, which is infinite. Interesting thing that the word foreknow, or whom He did foreknow there in Romans 8:29, is the word that we derive our English medical term from, prognosis. Prognosis. If a person goes to a medical doctor with a particular disease or ailment, the doctor diagnoses it and then gives a prognosis. And the prognosis is the likely course that that disease or that ailment will take, or the likely outcome of a situation. The prognosis. That's the word translated foreknowledge, or foreknow, or foreknew here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. Now let me talk for a moment, based upon that understanding of the word, let me talk about the accuracy of God's foreknowledge. There's a major difference between what God knows, and yet there is a difference between what God knows and what actually happens. God knows all before it happens. There is absolutely no uncertainty with Him. In everything that God foreknows, He is totally accurate. So I want to first of all emphasize the accuracy of God's foreknowledge. He never gets it wrong. He always nails it, if we could use that terminology. God knows, and He knows beforehand with complete and total accuracy. And the reason being is something that I've already touched on, and that is God has accuracy in His foreknowledge because of His eternality. That is, because God lives in the eternal present. There is no past, there is no present, and there is no future with God. He's unaffected as a result by time as well as by space. That's why we read in passages like 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8 that the Lord isn't slack. He isn't slacking off. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises to usward. He's not slack because to God, one day is as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is as one day. What's that saying? That's simply saying God lives in the eternal present. He's outside of time and space. We're impacted by that terribly, but God, not at all. I want to talk about another thing regarding God's foreknowledge. And that is what I feel, I mentioned it just a moment ago, I feel is a complete mistake and inaccuracy in understanding the foreknowledge of God. And that is this. Some people teach, some people believe, and some of them good people, They believe that because God knows all that will happen, that God then is totally responsible for all that will happen. I believe that that is totally inaccurate in an understanding of God's foreknowledge. God is unmistakable in his certainty of all that will happen. But listen to me, this is very important that you get this. Although God never mistakes and is absolutely certain about all that will happen before it happens, God's foreknowledge does not determine all of God's actions nor his creation or his creature's actions. You get that? God knows all that will happen, but there are things that God knows that will happen that he himself doesn't do, let alone his creatures. Okay? And so here's the inaccuracy. People that say that because God knows all that happens, he is the one that causes it to happen. That is totally false thinking. That's a big inaccuracy. That is not what the Bible is teaching when it talks about the foreknowledge of God. Now let's talk about how it's used, because foreknowledge, as you've already seen and we'll see even greater, is a biblical subject and a biblical word. In fact, you'll find the word four times in the New Testament. Four times the word foreknowledge or foreknew is found in our New Testament in English. There are other times where it's translated by another word, but these are the times I want us to look at. For example, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 23, Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost, and he is making a point regarding the crucifixion of the Lord. And here's what he says: "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you all, as you yourselves also know. Him, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." Now there's the use again of the word prognosis or foreknowledge, which means literally to know something beforehand. To know beforehand. That's all foreknowledge. What it says is what it means. Foreknowledge is to know beforehand. And what we read here is that God's attribute of foreknowledge is the basis for all that he allowed to happen to Jesus in his arrest and crucifixion. All the evil that men did to him at that point, that was known by God to happen before it happened. And that's simply all that this scripture tells us. Going back to our text that we began with in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. Go back there with me for a moment. Here is the verb form of to know before. It says, "For whom he did foreknow," used as a verb. In other words, God knew beforehand, and what is it? "He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son." God's attribute of foreknowledge here in this verse is the basis for him predestinating believers to be holy, to predestinate believers to be conformed to the image of his Son, which is the end result of glorification that he says in the last word of verse 30. And so here, the sovereign act of God that makes the believer's glorification certain is the basis, is based upon the attribute of God for knowing that beforehand. There's another use of the word, a third use, is found in 1 Peter and chapter 1. Peter is talking to Jewish believers in Jesus that have been scattered or part of that diaspora among the Gentiles throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. And then he says this in 1 Peter 1, 2. Chosen or elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Christ. Now, we mentioned this 2 weeks ago when we looked at the subject of election, and we said that the choosing here, the election of God, that sovereign act of God in choosing one or a group to further or accomplish his plan for world redemption, we said that here it actually is a reference to him bringing into conformity again the sanctifying of believers. That's what he's talking about, elect through sanctification of the Spirit. But notice the basis of this, again, by the use of the word. God's attribute of foreknowledge here in 1 Peter 1, 2 is the basis for our sanctification. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. And then the fourth time that it's used, it actually back to Romans again, this time chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. And it's used in reference, I believe, to Israel. In verse 2, well, Paul says, he puts forth this question. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. Paul says, how could that be? For I am a Jew. I am his people. I am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Verse 2, God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Don't you know, watch ye not, what the scripture saith of Elias or Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they've killed thy prophets, dig down thine altars, I'm left alone, they seek my life. Verse 2, where you see the word foreknew, again, a verbal form of to know beforehand. And what he's saying here is that God's attribute of knowing things ahead of time before they happen was the basis for God making Israel the channel, the people through which he would bring his redemption plan to fruition. That's what he's saying there. And so, very clearly, the foreknowledge of God has everything to do with it being an attribute that God knows what's going to happen, everything's going to happen before it happens, but yet that knowledge does not then cause that action to take place. Again, that vital distinction between an attribute of God and an action of God. I want you to turn then to Psalm 139. This is probably the last place we'll turn this afternoon in our study. Psalm 139. I believe that Psalm 139 is a wonderful illustration of God's foreknowledge. In fact, when David says in verse 6 that such knowledge is too wonderful for me, he's talking about God's foreknowledge. And I want to show this to you as we look at it together. I think that Psalm 139 is David's personal testimony of the glory of God's foreknowledge. He says in verse 1, notice this, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Again, David's testimony of the foreknowledge of God. The first thing he says about God's foreknowledge in this chapter is that, God, you know me. But it even gets more personal than that. Look at verse 2. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought from afar off. That is, God, you know my every thought. But it goes deeper than that. He says in verse 3, Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. God, you foreknow my total conduct of life. You know everything about my entire life before I ever live it. Look at this. Verse 4. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. In verse 2, he said, you understand my thought before I even think it or when I'm thinking it. But also, he's saying in that fourth verse, you know my words before I ever speak them. God's foreknowledge. And then, look at what he says in verse 5. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. What does he mean by that? God knows me completely. He knows me totally, at all times and in all places. In fact, we could get into this further, but verses 7 to 10, maybe I'll read that in a moment. But I wanted to mention also that sixth verse. Here's his conclusion about God's foreknowledge. It's too wonderful for me. It's high. I cannot attain unto it. In other words, he's blown away by it. In fact, he has limitations that he realizes when he considers God's foreknowledge. He says, I cannot attain unto it. I can't enter into that realm of your foreknowledge because you're infinite and I'm finite. Foreknowledge is a supernatural knowledge that you alone possess. And what he's saying in the verses that follow, 7 to 10, is that God's foreknowledge awakens him to his own specific limitations. Look at how he puts it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed, literally, in the grave, hell, behold, thou art there. The word in Hebrew for the grave and hell, same word, Sheol. And then he says in verse 9, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. And so he's just overwhelmed by God's infinite knowledge. He can't comprehend it. He sees his own personal limitations, that God's foreknowledge is beyond his human capacity, his human ability to understand. He says, I'm finite and only God knows. You know, I know and you know only what God chooses to reveal to us. There are things that we don't know that only God knows because he hasn't chosen to reveal it to us. Are you familiar with the 8 or so times that the word mystery appears in the New Testament? There's various mysteries the New Testament talks about. And don't misunderstand that Bible term. The word mystery doesn't mean mysterious, like a murder mystery. The word mystery used in the New Testament is simply something that you can't know unless God reveals it to you. The Bible tells us, for example, in Deuteronomy 29:29, that the secret things belong unto God, but the things that are revealed are in our domain. In other words, we only know what God reveals. God knows all. God knows all before it happens. He doesn't cause it to happen, but he knows all before it happens. And this is just incomprehensible to the psalmist. And he's blown away by it. That brings me finally to the practical value of God's foreknowledge to the believer's life. Psalm 139 is an illustration of the foreknowledge of God. And when you understand the foreknowledge of God as illustrated here, it reveals your human limitations. But also, like David, it just causes appreciation for God to well up in your soul. God knows all things. He knows the past. He knows the present. Obviously, he also knows the future. And he understands all things perfectly. And to believe that God knows everything, even before it happens, you know what that does if you believe it? If you know that and believe it, it eliminates anxiety. And not only that, it brings joy to your heart. Regardless of whatever happens, you know what? God knew this was going to happen. And the fact is that he didn't stop it. And so if he knew it was going to happen and let it happen, then he has a purpose in it. And that purpose is Romans 8, 28, 29, and 30. That all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did know beforehand, he did predestinate to be glorified, to be conformed to the image of his Son. And so as a result, because of God's attribute of foreknowledge, you and I have rest. We have peace of mind. We have joy in our hearts. Because nothing in our life is a fluke. Nothing in our life is an accident. Nothing in our life just is happenstance. If God allows it into the purview of our life, God means it for good. He knew it before it happened, and yet he allowed it to happen. God, what do you want to teach me through this? How can you use this to draw me closer to you? How, Lord, can you use this time and this circumstance to cause me to worship you and love you and trust you and believe you? God knows all about sin. He knows what's going on today in our country and in our world. He knows the wicked thoughts and actions of all his creatures. He knows all the evil plans and purposes that are being devised and perpetrated. He knows all the immorality and the vile filthiness that people plan and participate in. He knows all the hate in the human heart and all the killing that's going on. And his holiness cannot tolerate it. But as we heard this morning in Torah time, he's long-suffering.
Yes.
And he's of great mercy. But because he is a just God, there is judgment that will come unless there is repentance and a turning to him. So God knows all about sin. His foreknowledge encompasses that. God knows all about Satan. He knows the person and the activity of Satan in the past, in the present. He knows what Satan has planned in the future, too. He knows all of Satan's purposes and plans. He's acquainted with all of Satan's tricks and schemes. God's attribute of foreknowledge is the basis of this perfect plan of salvation that is sufficient to provide total forgiveness of sin to anyone who will believe and then liberate them from the power of sin and from the power of the devil as well. God knows perfectly the road ahead. And we need to remember and believe that in order to enjoy rest spiritually. and in order to worship him. I want to close with this great passage in Romans 11 again, and this time the last few verses of that. This is the crescendo of all God's marvelous purpose and plan, and it's just overwhelming to Paul, who God revealed this mystery to, no longer a mystery. And he says in verse 33 of Romans 11, all the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Anyone here? Or who hath been his counselor? Do you counsel God? Do I counsel God? Or who hath first given to him, and shall it be recompensed? Who does God owe in our human world? For of him, look at all of the prepositions here. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads together a moment. I told you several weeks ago of the unusual time, I believe, a satanic attack that I suffered. I had anxiety that I never experienced before. And when I look back on it, I can laugh because it was so foolish. Because, you know, I was in a situation, and God in his foreknowledge knew all about that from all eternity, because he sees in the eternal presence. And it was revealed to me once again that God, through his because of his foreknowledge, he already knew ahead of time that the major thing that was causing me anxiety, he knew that was going to pass. And God met me and gave me his peace. Didn't meet the need at the moment, but met my need for peace and removed all the anxiety. And you know what? When it was all said and done, God met every need and so much more than the thing that was causing me to be anxious. God knows. God's aware. We have nothing to worry about, really, because we have a God who is of great mercy, who is long-suffering to us, and who knows everything beforehand, including that whether we feel it or not, this is going to work out for good. He knows that ahead of time. This is going to work out for good. You might think, this is going to be the end of me. This is going to be my total undoing. No. Not if God allowed it in your life. Because he foresees what you and I could never see. This is going to work together for good in the end. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that we just believe you. We thank you for this wonderful attribute that you foreknow. You know. We need not fear because you see the end from the beginning. You see it all. In one glance, you see and know all things. That's amazing to us. That's too high for us. That's the realm of the infinite, and we don't dwell in that realm. That supernatural knowledge that we could never attain to. as the psalmist says. But we thank you that you possess it. We take comfort in that today. Lord, help us to believe you that we might rest in that, your foreknowledge, and thus be joyful regardless of our circumstances. We pray it in Jesus' name.